clicked off for just a minute. I want to do the ethers.
Yeah, when you said sex, I turned it off again.
I started it.
His will sell better than yours.
Here we go.
Back on.
The greatest thing that you will ever experience is when you finally have subdued. And I don't mean some conscious effort to subdue something by force. But when you truly grow into the realization that you have totally outgrown in your living experience this need to feed ego. You don't have to have something happen or demand to be superior or demand to be heard or whatever. It doesn't matter to you. You are working in your purpose when you know that almost everything else in this whole world is more important than what you think other people think. Because that's what you're dealing with ego. What are other people going to think about me? Well, always act in such a way that you don't have to think about what they may be thinking about you. Because basically, they aren't. They're thinking about themselves. So now we have a clash of egos. Each one thinking about self is not allowing you to think about the other. So you have to come out of it and out of self and give. And when you begin to give, and when you begin to pray for another, and you really begin to work toward making life better for another, you'll find you're not even interested in most of the things that you were before. And the acquisition of things, oh, God, one more thing for me to try to find a place to put away, will become the primary thought when you look at something. And yet, God gives abundance for you to be able to experience and have things. Keep it simple. Know that you're only using for a little while something. It's God's. Use it if it pleases you. Give it away. Whatever. Don't marry it. And I use that term, I hope, with wisdom. Don't marry it. I would go through life just having people make commitments they keep than to get married. That is the beginning, usually, of the end. Because somehow now you must struggle to hold it. Just like you do things. Oh, I thought to, I can't let this go. I won't let this go. Well, I'm going to let that go. I'd like to throw that out, but somehow I better not because she'll want it. When you can look at the physical environment around you and be in it and be able to walk away from it. I don't mean that you won't grieve. Ooh, that porcelain vase is now smashed. And very frequently, it was, well, that was $1,200 smashed. Might as well have taken $1,200 and burned it. Well, then burn it. If it becomes so infernally important to you, get rid of it. Because you're still buried in ego. And having and possessing are two different things. You can have in freedom. You cannot possess in freedom. And God is freedom. Freedom of will, freedom of choice, God is open freedom. Most people cannot respond to that. They are so accustomed to thinking, oh, well, I must listen to the authority figure because this is my set of guidelines. And once that is removed and I can make my choices, unless you have a stable foundation, you will invariably make wrong choices because those will be the most tempting things. And this is the difference in finding purpose versus just having a goal. You may achieve your goal, but it may not have anything to do with your purpose. And that goal achievement, you won't even realize most of the time that you achieved it. You'll get on top of that mountain and say, is this all there is? A view on four sides instead of three? And I didn't mean to get into this lecture. I did too. But I wanted to impress all of you with the very reasons that those on the other side of our little chasm here are acting the way they're acting. And the reason you're responding the way you are. And ones can come in, like Marina, and say, oh, okay, you're going to be able to tell by their faces. The ones who are on the right side are going to be much happier. The other side is going to be miserable. Well, have you looked at the faces of that other side that are now so rapturous? I want you to also beware of a teacher who teaches in unknown tongues. This is very, very serious because usually the receiver doesn't understand it either. And they'll be the first to say, I don't understand it. We'll interpret it. And it may or may not be even relevant. You can only interpret anything according to its relationship to your experience. If you ask Doris something, she's going to give you an opinion out of her existence. And she has every right to her opinion, the same as you do. But the moment she voices something, it's attributed to me. Well, isn't that ridiculous? I speak in English with her. I will sometimes use a few Native American phrases. But you can go look those up. I will not babble to her. In Gargosian or something like that. I have occasionally written by hand script a few things that as you move along, you will recognize having seen. So that's important. But don't go gung-ho for ones who babble. Because that's what it is, babbling. And you can only base the interpretation on the opinion or interpretation of that receiver. It doesn't mean that that interpretation is not correct. But it means it's confusing. So why would you not speak in a language that everyone in the room can understand or get an interpreter, a translator? Is there any other house cleaning we need to do? Because these are the things we have got to grow beyond.
Excuse me. Commander, which language does Marina speak when she speaks in this foreign tongue? Is it an ancient language or
It is no language at all. I'm sorry. Sometimes she reverts to a type of Aboriginal or Native, but it is not Native American, and you would not recognize it. It's basically an Amazonian chant, and it has meaning, but Marina doesn't know what it means.
And
I don't mean to hear me. I do not intend or want to diminish the connection or put anyone down. Because with her, it is truly an expression. On the other hand, I'm going to warn you. It will pop out at the most remarkable times when Marina is upset. And that energy will pull her away. I've warned everybody about this. When those energies are asked to depart or whatever, they will take the receiver with them every time they can. And that's, I don't have to have my people all who have never been in the room. But any of you who have been in the room when this happens, and Marina will get up and stomp out. I'm sorry. A lighted energy would not ever do that.
And Commander, when she said that Sananda came through, or Mother Mary, were they really coming through her? Or were those other entities?
Well, I would guess that probably if she called on them, they would come. I'm not here to judge what Marina receives. I said this too from onset. Don't ask me to comment about other receivers or other energy forms. Trust your own.
Because at one time when Mother Mary came through and Mother Mary said, I bring you roses, I really smelled roses. Or was that just an imagination?
Only you would be able to interpret that. Mm-hmm. I can't interpret that for you. But no, it's very possible. It's very probable.
I also felt Sananda's energy many times.
Then that's wonderful. Experience the truth of whatever is happening. Just don't let anyone, including Dorma or Doris, run you. Hear yourself. You're God. Anybody can talk. Only you can interpret for self. Well, she seems so nice, or well, he seems so sincere. Of course! Everybody's nice and everybody's sincere. So you can only judge by the lesson or the word. If I tell you to let's all go outside now, and then I will distract, and you run around and rob the bank. Now, is that something God would tell you to do? And neither would God tell anyone to take his child up on a mountain and kill him. And any father that would take his son up there hearing these mysterious voices and get like this, and then the angel stopped him. Bullshit. God is a creator, not a destroyer, and he does not test in that manner. He may test the man, but the child is the one who suffers, and never would God ever treat an innocent child to that terror where his father is above him with a knife. Oh, well, never mind, son. God told me to do it. Be careful. And don't be gullible. Measure truth. Because truth is whatever it is to whomever it comes. Your truth may differ from someone else's opinion or definition of that truth. I go back to there is only one, and there is one common truth. But there are as many ways to reach this conclusion as there are individual and unique beings. And if there is any breaking of God's or man's laws, it's invalid. But there may be something very valid in the overall presentment. Take the truth and toss out the other. Don't turn someone into your conscience. You're the one listening. You are the one receiving. And you are the one perceiving. And as far as you, Valerie, what Bruce thinks may have absolutely nothing to do with what you think. You must interpret if it's against the laws of God or against the laws of the land, it's wrong. It's that simple. I'm pushing my luck. We need a drink or we need to take a break. What time is it?
It's 1 o'clock. We've been here 3 hours. And it's close to lunchtime.
Do you want to go further today?
Yes.
Then let's do whatever you want to do and come back.
Let's be back here at 2:30.
Very good. 2:30. Salu. Have a nice lunch. Hope, you can always wish, you can make excuses. This is what you're best at. Make excuses for someone. Well, you know, they were this and they were that and everybody didn't know, and we are here to have a small meeting anyway. It's hard when you know, because it's so final. And doesn't God give you till the 11th hour? That's right. But that's to save your soul. And you make a choice. That isn't to run a mission. This isn't to run a program. If you're going to build a building, you have to start with a foundation. And you have a different foundation if you're going to have a 35-story building, a 102-story building, or a 1-story building. You have to consider the wind factors, the geophysical impact. And yet you go through life in this little short blink of an eye, wasting a lifetime. Usually on the wrong foundation, What if you did not have an architect and you just start slapping down the walls and so forth? You're going to have a ramshackle building. Now, this may be fine if you're going to put midgets in there. They may not break the walls down. You've been in a decade of training from many lifetimes, and I'm kind of glad now that she's getting a little weepy-eyed. Because there's a grieving over disappointment. And once again, you have to consider ego. Not in the sense of I want to be bigger than anyone. But how can they do this when you're not even present? What can you be doing to them while you're out making every effort that you possibly can to make sure there are no losses to anyone? And it's as if you're not supposed to bleed. See? We can insult you and then call it love, tough love. But you don't bleed. Your heart doesn't hurt. I mean, after all, you're a phony. So expect the grieving because of the disappointment. But revel in the joy of knowing that once you now keep going, you have dependable people. And if a man can have one dependable friend, the journey's been worth it. Most have none. And that one often vacillates back and forth because that's life. Eckers didn't say anybody had to make a choice. I said there must be choices. And we can come back and we can get started and money can begin to flow when the time is proper and the decisions are made. And some are still trying to drag their feet, but I know who they are. And I make no judgment on them other than they're very wise to get out of my way. But of course it's sad. You have become, over a long period of time, at least a break in the monotony. And have compassion because there's great sadness within. And oh, it's going to get worse. Because there will be the sorrow of having made the incorrect choice. I am not telling you that you need to choose for some Commander Hatton or a mission. But if you're going to do that, you'd better be very careful what you do. You shouldn't have signed up for the mission if you were not capable of seeing it through. Well, didn't you know, comes the little response from out of this head. Didn't you know? Who would stay the course and who would not? And of course I knew. And I know. But that's your lessons. Will you stop? Will you fall away? Will you place such limitations on what we have to accomplish that we don't even get started? And no, you won't. And will you be the unsung heroes out there? Yes, because you will plan it that way so that you have some sanity in your existence. Or you'll be successful. And let me warn you, it will be difficult from time to time to turn the wicks down with the people distant from you who want to put you up on a pedestal of some kind. Because you will come in there with your banks and with your way, and if they do what we suggest to be done and structure it, it will save this world that you talk about saving. Only you're not out to save a world. You're out to build and create a better way. And just the hope, just the hope, and Terry experienced this, just the hope in the faces of these people, like the ambassador from Iraq. These are genuine human beings. And they're more caring than anyone who is not in this room. And of course, there are so many out there who would be here. Who will we have to pull from? Who will we have to run the computers? Well, let's get a grandson. They can work circles around you on a computer. There will be someone. Go and hire someone. Go hire Linda. If we have the money to do the mission, we're going to have the money to hire the help. And you will be so glad that the burden's off your head. If you hire somebody and you respect them with adequate pay and they don't do a job, then you can fire them. But look what happens when you have volunteer help or they consider low-paid help. They'll get you. And they'll break you. They will break the back of your business. They will steal from you, and you have witnessed it. And I have allowed it to happen because I want to clean the structure, clean the house, and have people we can depend on. Well, but we did have a good paper, you know. I'm playing both sides of this because I have this digital thing going around in her head. Beware. When the children play all night and they are not available to do a job in the daylight, watch out. You should. Maybe the word is could. You could have known trouble was brewing. Trouble from day one was happening. I told Ed Young to move off that tunnel. Oh, well, he didn't want to go to the bother. Bother? For goodness sakes, even the rug sifted sand down into his lower level. And he had to paper it with plastic wrap to catch this insane dust that he was allergic to. Trouble. Too much of a problem and trouble to move off that confounded tunnel where they were manipulating him. And then Nori comes, and Nori moves in with him. And then Nori quits his job. What are they doing over there? He would not go and ask for help for that paper. He would take from us and us and us and take and take and take. And now he's going to the very ones that helped us to get his money to fight us. And she wants to cry over it? Spare me. Nori is the loss. I think you'll find that the way will open up. And yes, there will be some sad points if you linger on them. And there have been some transitions made. Zita. John. Lydia. Seems like Rick did the weddings and Dorma got the funerals. I'm not sure one's any better than the other. In fact, maybe that funeral is at least a progression into better. Less confusion, not better. Poor choice of words. I don't think there's anyone in this room wants to quit. Or he wouldn't be in this room.
Well, you said we're just about on phase two here. He's not trying to quit.
EJ went down when he was summoned to evaluate Dorma's basket caseness. And they were lined up, both of them, at the door, you know, to read this. It's an underwriting. And I knew this was going to be an interesting morning. And I had meetings with the Sultan of Brunei. And we're going to try to work out some incredible business things. And now we're going to have to figure out who is going to be on the team. They had not told. They had kept their secrets. And I knew it was going to out, and it was going to out then, if I had to tell them myself, which I practically did. And just what are you gentlemen planning? Nothing. You know, just nothing comes back. But they haul EJ off down to the room to read this an underwriting that this dark energy obviously has taken over Dorma, so it's your responsibility to go down there and beat her to death or whatever might be next. This is something else. God may test you, but he does not test in this way. He does not hop in between a man and his wife to try to make it worse. What did they think they were going to accomplish? Total separation is what they wanted. They didn't dare hit EJ. They had to hit Doris. But they overcalculated. It didn't work out well. Because whatever these two may not have, they have teamwork. They work well together. And surely enough, EJ said, oh, well, I tell you, gentlemen, what I witness here from a long time of experience. You both remind me of people who do not know what to do with success. People will get right up to the step, and the next step is the big one. And you will do yourselves in because you're afraid of success. And that's what it looks like to me. We're going to get something done here. And you want to run off because they were already talking about leaving. But they did not say they had already changed reservations. So EJ goes back to the room, and he said, well, I think that I want you to think about some things and just clear your space and see what you come up with. And she came face to face with me. I want a meeting, please. Let's just take it right out of your hands. EJ, get them down here right now. We're going to clear up some things. We're going to go over my writing this morning that seems to be objectionable to everyone and dark. Let's just get them down here right now. But that's the problem. Rick shot both of his feet off beforehand. Now he's having to creep because he has to get back here to Tehachapi to cover the books. And then they acted like silly little brats. Is that what you want marching with you across forever? Have you not done this enough times before that you need the physical stamina and strength of a brotherhood that does not cut your throat? Well, you've got to learn to have your throat partially cut. And you're going to have to bleed a little to see if you will stay the course. So we came back without money in hand. I think everybody here will understand why that was necessary. We can go from here now. So you don't have to wait a lot longer now. It can burst through all over you. You have to now be prepared to move, to use it, to go with it. But to bring wealth back into a broken house is incredibly stupid. It would not work. If you think you have a little pain and grieving over confused people, oh, when the betrayers are in your midst and you're talking millions and billions of dollars meant for programs while they go squander and play and spiral downward against everything that you've worked for, it would break your heart. They needed the experience. You needed it. Lessons are for everyone. There are no negative lessons. They're only positive. You can respond to them any way you wish. But they're still lessons. They're still choices. And there are no bad ones. A wrong choice simply produces some kind of result. And then you can work with it because you have a result. And that's the only sure thing there is. Results. Something is going to happen. If you choose to do absolutely nothing and just sit like this, you're going to get results. You're going to die, is what you're going to do. And your skeleton may still sit there. But you will have a result with which to deal. Every choice has a result. You see, I can read your minds. I don't want you to start trying to pretend thoughts to me. But I know these two. If you wanted to start a paper, Ed, let us help you. We'll help you. Spectrum's a pretty good name. You know, and you're writing about the Rainbow Masters, and all the while Hatton is saying, who needs another book from the Rainbow Masters? They copied all of our first one and said so. How many duplicates do you need? And you have devoted 2 years to selective advertising of those books. And then complain because more money doesn't pour in. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think this is sad. This is glory. And nobody had to do anything. This is the point. This is the lesson. People make their choices and you don't have to do anything. But you do have to stand strong. Well, what if they come over to the meeting, you know? Well, welcome them in. Don't you think I can handle it? They won't come. Just as we were talking before the lunch break.